When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, besties! Okay, good luck, guys.
Wait, start over.
I thought you were going to introduce us.
You guys are going to know. You said you're going to introduce us.
No, I like this.
You need to introduce yourself.
All right. Here I am with my bestie.
Yeah, right. This is, I guess, us guest starring on our Semi-Famous Wives podcast. Typically, Mom's a Tampa.
Dad's a Tampa. It's taken over.
It's been a big change. Yeah, Dad's a Tampa.
For those of you who don't know, I'm Travis, Megan's new husband, new upgrade.
Upgrade. You know, some people can't afford the new car that traded for a little model. I'm Mike. I am Megan's ex-husband and Tiffany's current husband. And I'm 90% sure the father of Michael. And you are the father
of
who?
Bryce. Bryce okay. Is mine and Megan's child.
As far as you know.
Bonus son, yeah. I guess you could say.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. So apparently there's been some questions that have been asked online, things that people want to know from us. You know, you guys hear a lot from the wives, and we get to be a lot of cool background noise when they get to do a lot of the things that they do. We get to tag along. We can do things. But the cool thing about what they've done is that Travis and I over the years have become really good friends as well. We share a lot of the same interests and things like that. And we've gotten an opportunity to, you know, get to know each other. We do fun activities together and so much room for activities.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people don't realize, like, is that how much Mike and I actually did become friends after Megan and Tiffany became friends. We are, I guess, self-proclaimed best friends as well. We really are. We're basically the only people like we do stuff with. We go fishing.
Yeah.
We go fishing, frisbee golf, tennis. Like we do everything together, basically. So
yeah.
It's not a whole facade. Like it's not just the girls are like, oh, the guys get along. Like, no, we actually are legitimately best friends as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know, it was really weird. And then it wasn't. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not like a fan of trying to like be friends with Mike at first. Not because I didn't know him, kind of like the Megan and Tiffany thing. Like, I just didn't know him. So I was like, I'm not going to be friends with him. Like, it's just.
It's weird. I mean, same thing on the opposite side. I was like, I always liked you. I said that to my friends, my coworkers, things like that. I'm like, he's a good guy. He takes good care of Megan. He takes good care of my kid. And that's all you can really ask for as a separated parent, right? Is to have somebody that can, like, you know, it's going to take care of somebody that you cared about. So take care of your kid, especially if the kid involved. And now it's just kind of evolved to where it is. So
a bromance,
romance. That's cool. Romance. That's
good. Yeah, yeah. So I guess some people have asked actually if we introduce ourselves as Eskimo Bros. I guess
depends on how much we drank.
But that has happened several times.
Yeah.
usually it's Mike that does it, but
yeah,
I've also done
pretty
it.
Pretty shameless myself. Yeah. So
but yeah.
Anyway, so people have asked us some questions online, so I figured we'd kind of jump into it. We'll do a little introduction. I know who we are. We know what we do, or kind of.
And, actually, that was one of the questions. We're going to jump right into it, what we do, our bromance.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. What don't we do now? Like, we find a new hobby, and we pick it up, and we're like, let's fucking do that.
Yep.
Let's kill that. But it keeps us busy. The cool thing about us hanging out is, you know, I worked many, many hours when we first met. 80 hours a week, you work a shit ton of hours. And so it doesn't leave a lot of room for, you know, hanging out, socializing, going to do stuff. In fact, you know what? I think a good jump off is our kayak story. I mean, that's really kind of how we started hanging out, right?
Yep. Yep. That's how it all began, I guess.
So we're sitting around drinking, right?
Well, I mean, where it all began was the first night, 4th of July. For those of you interested, they've probably told the story before, but
not like we do though.
Yeah, not like we did. So yeah, we actually started to become cordial.
Before 4th of July, though, I think. Wasn't it the game night? No, the game night happened after.
Happened right after 4th of July. We kind of made plans that night. So we started to become cordial. The girls that were like pretty good friends already, not like absolute best friends, like spending every day with each other, like to the point they are now. They were good friends. And so Mike knew that and he invited us.
But you guys were going to do a 4th of July in Orlando and got rained out. You guys are going to stay in a hotel over there. And I said, well, shit, I'm doing something.
Yeah. So Mike invited us to his little 4th of July party here at his house. And I was not extremely willing at first. But I decided like it was best for Michael that we do that. So we came over here and we just pretty much hit it off. We ended up drinking whiskey in the garage and boxing.
No, that was family. That was the game night, I think.
No.
Was that the 4th of July?
No, that was 4th of July.
Yes. So that night, the first night hanging out, ended up with us in the garage at 6 a.m., still drinking scotch.
Sun was coming up.
Boxing.
Yeah.
And I think that set the precedence for basically the rest of our relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So we realized how much we had in common that night. Like,
yeah.
So.
And then I think it just kind of progressed. We hung out a few more times. And then the kayaking, I mean, that's really what started. I think we were sitting around.
So then it was just a couple months later. It was like we were sitting around.
Drinking.
Yep.
That seems to lead to a lot of, you know. I don't know how it got brought up, honestly. But I know that it got brought up. We mentioned going to kayaks. We looked it up online.
I probably said something along the lines of, like, I used to kayak all the time when I was younger. When I was in high school. I kayak in summer after high school or in between high school years, I would be kayaking like 4 or 5 days a week, kayak fishing like every single day. So I think we talked about that at some point. And then he was like, yeah, let's go get some kayaks. And I was like,
I said that. And I was like, well, obviously we had to do our due diligence around by the wives. Right. And I think I think the conversation was as easy as, hey babe, we're thinking about getting kayaks. She goes, how much are they? I go, I don't know. Less than $1,000. She goes, go get the hell out of the house. Go get them. And we literally went. We went to one store first and got mine. They didn't have the one you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drove like an hour south.
Yeah, we drove like an hour to go get one for me because they only had one in stock for him.
It was during COVID, so like they were.
Yeah, they were selling. Everybody was selling out of kayaks. Yeah.
And then we got back that night.
And I realized how much you really like to talk that night.
Did you?
Yeah, with the salesman.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a salesman myself by nature, and I like to get deals. I mean, you've seen me work some magic, right?
Yep.
We get back, and then we decide to have a few more beverages, and then take them out on the lake out back and test them out. At midnight, we started. I think it was we had Michael back there a little bit, and then I started realizing mine was about a little bit. I got a 10-footer, and you got a 12-footer,
mm-hmm.
And I think the moment I realized it was a little too small, and it was when I tipped over in the back.
Yep.
And mind you, this is it's a very large, but it's still a retention pond. So it didn't smell the best.
Yeah.
So
to say it didn't smell the best was
But thank goodness at that point, I think
a huge understatement. He literally smelled like shit. Like he smelled like absolute shit.
Sure.
Yeah. Like he rolled around and shit. Like he smelled horrible. And all I could do when he flipped over in his kayak, all I could do was laugh.
Piss yourself. Yeah.
Like I laugh. He's like he's like looking up at me like, are you going to help? No, I'm just laughing. Like it was awesome.
It was. Yeah. So thank God I was drunk.
Yeah, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning at that point.
And then the next day I decided I wanted a bigger kayak. So I was able to.
No. The next day we went to the beach.
Oh, I flipped over
and took the kayaks out, and you flipped over again.
And that's when I lost Megan's
fishing. And you lost Megan's fishing. Oh yeah.
And I was asking you to come help, and you're like, "Fuck that! I'm fishing."
Again, I'm like, "I'm out there fishing." He's like, "Come help!" I'm like,
"Fuck that!" That's why we lost your wife's fishing pole.
Yeah, so you lost Megan's fishing pole.
And then I just
the night before though, you lost your chair.
Oh yeah.
So you rigged up a beach chair on your kayak.
Yep.
Rigged up a beach chair on his kayak.
Yep.
And then flipped over again. But didn't lose that chair, just the fishing pole.
No, I tied that fucker in pretty tight. So,
yeah.
And then, from there, it just kind of branched off. And, the activities we picked up since then, we would kayak, we go camping, hunting, fishing, mm-hmm. disc golf, bowling.
Oh, yeah, bowling. Yeah, we bowl a lot. Yeah.
Well, we used to.
Oh.
Yeah. But we bowl again. I hurt my wrist a little bit ago, so.
I hurt my wrist, too, and all I did, I mean, just bowl with the other hand.
Yeah, well, not all of us are blessed with the whole ambidextrous thing. So, Yeah, let's get into these questions. So kind of so the first one I got is, what do Mike and Travis have in common? So I think we just answered a lot of that, right? Like, what do you
think? Yeah, that's kind of, I feel like we were leading into that with all that. But we have so much in common, and it's crazy because, like I said, I wasn't like extremely excited to hang out with Mike. I didn't know him, so I didn't really have a reason. But when I did hang out with him, I realized how much we had in common. And yeah, we do all kinds of fun stuff together because of it. But I think the biggest, if you could put it like into one little thing, like what do we have in common is like, we're just big kids. We just want to have fun. Like we just want to have fun.
And yeah. I think we want to have, which shows if they actually did like true behind the scenes, like recording of this half the shit that we have to do, half of it would be us getting yelled at because, you know, that's what we do.
We're big too. Yeah. We're big kids.
Yeah.
They say it and it's like, it's not them like just saying it just to be like, oh no, that's, we're big kids. We know it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like we own it.
I think aside from that too, which is the fun stuff, and that's the fun stuff to get along with. But I think aside from that, if you, on a serious note, I think we just have our belief in family and our dedication to family and like just working your ass off to provide, do everything you have to do to make them happy. We get to have both of that. Like we're, you know, we both have a great work ethic and being able to take care of your family and the drive to do that, make them happy. I mean, just them being able to not have to work and do this full time is honestly, I mean, you know, they're it's them. They're the ones that do it. They're the ones with talent, but they got to do it because of the hard work that we got to put in, you know, with our jobs and being able to take care of the household while they didn't necessarily have income coming in. And then the support that we give them, I think that's pretty cool. There's the ego is not there. It doesn't get in the way. Right. I have no problem. You know, Tiffany gets a point. She's like making more money. She's the breadwinner and things like that. Like they're the stars. We have no problem kind of sitting back and just letting them do their thing and then just kind of support them along the way. We love to do dumb shit all the time. So, some things we probably shouldn't admit on here, I guess, you know,
and I don't think we will, but
all right. So the next one I got is, what moment solidified your friendship?
4th of July, I guess.
Yeah.
4th of July, kayaks.
Really you, I would say, giving us the opportunity to hang out, right? It was you decided, you know, as awkward and as uncomfortable it was for you to come over to another guy's house that used to be married to your wife and all this stuff, and we never really talked before then. Just being able to have that, taking that leap, I think, putting your ego aside, right? Because I think that's what the biggest thing that gets away of anything, you know, with this situation. It's like, oh, this guy... I'm not competition. Your wife loves you. I have my wife. You know what I mean? There's nothing there. You know, it's just, you know, that we had a situation that we were together in a relationship and then we moved on from that. Now we have our relationship that we're in, mm-hmm. our families really. And so,
yeah, I think a lot of people have a hard time looking past the previous relationship that you had with that person. And sometimes, yeah, it can be difficult, like could be difficult at first, but now I just look at it as like, we're good friends and we're all here. We're here for the kids, you know?
Yeah. And then keeping that open communication, if there is something, I mean, inevitably there might be something that comes along that makes one person feel uncomfortable. We just talk about, hey, you know, I didn't like that, or that made me feel uncomfortable, whatever the case is, just having that and being okay talking about those things is what I think, just you get past it. And then always have the, have an open mind to the other person saying, hey, listen, they can't read my mind and I want to do what's best to make them happy, them feel comfortable and all that stuff. So I think that's really important. All right, so third one I got. Let's see. Like, what does parenting look like when it's both of you? Just two guys yelling at kids. Like,
I was going to say, that can go two different ways. It looks like either when it's just the two of us and the boys, it looks like four children, basically.
Who's in charge there? Or honestly, like it's like we're walking the kids and stuff like that. We look like gay rednecks walking kids down. Down the road, you know what I mean? Yes. It's like we play with them, like we hang out, we take the kids all the time, and sometimes we hold hands. Oh, I should have said that.
It happened once, only because it did happen. We were walking into a grocery store, and he's wearing a tank top with flowers on it or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know, we kind of look, you know.
A little fancy?
A little. And he was like, oh, what do you mean? And he grabs my hand, and I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, it's Travis is a little bit more conservative with being ridiculous than I am. So, I like to, I don't, you know, You know what I mean? Like, you know, I purposely look stupid sometimes, and you're not as you're more reserved, I guess.
I'm definitely more reserved.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of our biggest differences. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as much as we do have in common, we get along extremely well because we have so much in common. But we are very different people when it comes to, like, I'm reserved. He's kind of just.
You're so much nicer than I am.
A lot louder.
Oh yeah, just, for sure. I get a big mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a lot calmer. And
which is, you know, that's kind of where we go in lively, even like career wise. Like, I do sales, and you just work.
I do a job where I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So you have to interact with people. I love it.
Let's see. What's next? What's a funny story you two have? Well, again, we just hit so many of these questions with the kayak story, man.
There's so many though.
There are so many.
I'm not sure we can talk about a lot of them though, unfortunately.
I got
another one. Flipped over in the kayak on that disgusting fucking pond when we were disc golfing.
That pond, it was pretty.
So we were disc golfing.
A lot of them have to do with flipping over.
And yeah, it's so funny. Like, I can't help but laugh. I have this one partially on video too. It's the only one that I've got on video, or at least part of it, where he's like pulling himself back up in the kayak. But we were disc golfing at a course where there was like a pond, and it was just like the filthiest looking pond with like all this algae and stuff.
Why you gotta make everything so filthy? It's not that filthy. It just had a lot of leaf pads and shit on it, or like it had a lot of vegetation.
Stagnant, nasty water.
Yeah,
and he was on the kayak getting some frisbees that we had thrown in the water, and he flipped over, and I couldn't help but laugh.
At least that one didn't smell bad.
Didn't smell bad. Yeah, it was gross, but it didn't smell bad.
It wasn't a retention pond. It was a stagnant lake.
Yeah, it wasn't like your retention, like the pond in your backyard. Like
shit off the road.
It was that you smelled like shit. Yeah. Straight up shit.
Yeah. You know.
What other funny stories? I mean, I guess we'll just lead into the funny stories as we talk.
Yeah.
So
the next one I got, what do you do for work? So we were talking about earlier. So I want to actually, let's expand on that. Let's just say a little bit like your background, like, you know, because you've done some cool stuff, man. Like, so, you know, from like high school.
as far as work? Oh, you mean like baseball?
I played
professional baseball for a short time. I was a pitcher. It was a lot of fun.
Don't downplay it, man. That's awesome. That's crazy impressive.
I got a nice ring out of it. We won the championship one year. I was drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays out of high school when they were the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And then I went to college. And then after college, I played for a short time with the Milwaukee Brewers. And then I got released, and a couple years later, I met Megan. I don't know. but now, actually, after that, no, you know what I did? After that, I was a manager at PetSmart.
You bring that up a lot.
I was a manager at PetSmart. I was a manager at PetSmart for like 5 years between playing baseball and where I'm now. For 8 years now, I work at a power plant, waste energy. It's a big boiler, we burn trash, create electricity, basically. I'm an auxiliary operator. So I work with all the boiler components.
I don't know. That was cool. Listen.
Actually, I took Mike one time. Yeah, Mike stopped by. Really neat. And he visited me at work on a weekend when there was really nobody around. So he got to kind of see what I do and all the different machines and equipment and the big cranes and all that. But yeah, that's it.
Right on. Me, I right out of high school, I joined the Marine Corps. After that, I was a firefighter and paramedic for a while. Then I kind of fell in love with medicine. I got hurt in a car accident, so I couldn't do it anymore. Went to school for medicine, worked in general surgery for a bit. That was cool. And now I don't use my degree at all in biomedical science. I do work in digital marketing, did that for a while. And then I was able to start my own business, a couple actually, and just kind of helping businesses with marketing stuff, as Travis puts it, soft job. But you know, but I use my hands. Oh, you know what? So we talked about work. So that's you know, there's that. And then some of your personal hobbies, like what are some of the personal hobbies that you do? Because we share a lot of that in common too, actually.
Yeah, woodworking, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. I have like a little shop area on the side of my garage. Where I like to do woodworking, and turns out Mike does as well. So we have that in common. also.
So yeah, you started it.
Yeah, I built like the furniture, all the furniture around the house. I remember it was funny because the first time I went to build something, I wanted to build a coffee table because I couldn't find one that I liked. And this is when Megan and I had been together for like a year.
Yeah, maybe. This was you back in that apartment.
And yeah, we were in the apartment. And I was like, I don't like any of these coffee tables. I'm just going to build one. I just decided to start taking up woodworking one day. So, and Megan's like, I don't think you should do that. Like, I don't know. She was really skeptical about it. And I built a coffee table. She loved it. And I've built all the furniture in our house since then. I've built all the furniture in our house.
And that's so weird. Like, you know, I love mechanics. I've worked on cars for, 25 years now. Like, my very first car, I took it apart, put it back together. I know automotive mechanics pretty well. And I've always been interested in woodworking, but I think I never got into it because the way my brain works, if I don't know I can go into something and do it well or perfectly, I'm like scared to attempt it. I think you actually kind of helped me get into it because I could call you and be like, hey, what about this and all this stuff. And so that was like, and now I love it. I love doing it. I mean, hell, I built a badass workbench, right?
Like, you made the workbench. You just did your dining room table.
Yeah, yeah. And yep. Which is crazy because, again, I was so like worried about it being perfect and starting, but you're like, just got to do it. Fucking do it.
Trial and error. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless you actually took a class like on woodworking or whatever, which
right.
We had wood shop in high school, but I never took it.
I think I would say, and then to add to that, our biggest hobby is just anything that DIY that we could possibly do, right? I mean, I did the floors in my house, the laminate floors.
I did the floors in my house.
And you did the floors in your house, like the molding. I've never done it before. And I think we're the mindset of it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. If I can make it, I'm going to fucking make it, right? I don't.
That is something we absolutely have in common. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. We're DIYers, like, insane. To the end.
Like, yeah, like, I don't care how cheap something is. If I pay more for materials than the actual product, I don't give a shit. Like, how many – we've worked on our kayaks for, like, 2 years, man, just updating and putting motors on there and specialized, you know, turning mechanisms and just all kinds of stuff, dude. Like, because it's fun, you know?
Yeah, we like to tinker. We like to tinker with stuff, figure, you know.
Yeah.
Use our hands. That's something we have in common. We like to use our hands. And,
as DIY as possible. Travis, this one's for you, buddy. How do you feel about Mike's relationship with Bryce?
I love it until Bryce comes home singing the diarrhea song. Every single time he comes home from your house, he's singing the diarrhea song. But no, seriously, I think it's great.
What do we say about being children, by the way? Huh? So what do we say about being children?
Yeah, again, we're children.
Case in point.
No, I think it's great. I mean, it's another male adult in his life to, you know, teach him right from wrong and all that stuff. Like, so yeah, I have no problem. Absolutely no problem. I volunteer Mike for, you know, all the time. I'm like, hey, Megan wants to go do something. I'm like, let's just drop Bryce off with, you know, cause I know Mike has no problem with that. He's a very good, what's the word?
Dad.
He's another parent to Bryce basically. So yeah, I'm very comfortable with it. Actually, you know what? Bryce came home the other day and he was doing something. What was he doing? He was doing like one of Mike's little ticks, and I was like, stop. Stop. You can't do that.
100%.
Yeah, it was like 100%, 100%, 100%. And I was like, Bryce, don't do that. And he's like, why? I'm like, Mike does that. Please, just stop. but no, I'm just, he's a great father figure to Bryce, and I'm very appreciative of that. Like, yeah, Bryce absolutely adores Mike, and yeah, so that's great. It's something, honestly, I never would have pictured going into this whole thing, like my son hanging out with him, you know, without me. And I'll come home from work and he'll be like, daddy, Mike showed me this or Mike did that. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, that's great. Like, that's great.
Yeah. You know, and I'll, you know, even though it wasn't really asked, I kind of hit the other side of this. And like I said earlier, I thought from the very beginning, you're just a nice guy, right? And a lot nicer than I am. I mean, I blame it on my – well, first of all, we have very different backgrounds as kids, right? You had an amazing dad. You had an amazing family growing up, stuff like that. And I did. I had the opposite. So I think bringing that in the picture, like, none of us really know how to be parents, but – the best you know is based off what your parents did. And, you know, I didn't have a great example. You did. So I think that dynamic, especially with, even with Michael, is awesome. Like, it's you just bring a different you bring a different style of parenting, right? Mm-hmm. I don't follow the same things my parents did. I don't believe that, well, that's the way I was raised, so that's the way you're raised. But, you know, I follow a lot of the same path. You know, but military, you know, fire, like, I'm more, you know, kind of intense. I'm more disciplinary and things like that. I don't have as much patience, I would say. You know, as I get older, I feel like I'm getting more. But
I'm trying to teach him patience. That's one of the things, like, when people ask, like, how do we feel about each other, like, parenting our children, or, you know, him parenting Bryce and me parenting Michael, we talk about it. Like, we talk, like, what's best for the kid. Yeah. Like, we go back and forth with ideas and, like, okay, here's how we're going to do this. And we try and work together for the kids, like, in, you know.
I think that also, like, it's a talk about situation as much as it's a venting situation. Because I think most of our conversation was like, oh my God, that fucking kid, right? No matter which one, it's just like, ah, Jesus Christ, he did this or he did this. And we bring different perspectives. Again, we have different personalities and mm-hmm. you know, you're, again, I always go back to the thought of, like, you're nicer. You're more, like, kind of laid back. I'm more, like, authoritative and disciplinarian. And those styles, there's a happy medium, because mm-hmm. if you're too soft, you're too nice, the kids do whatever the hell they want. If you're too strict and too much of a disciplinarian, then you can kind of fuck up your kid's emotional growth and things like that. You know, we and the big thing too, we both agree, you know, we don't hit our kids. We don't, you know, do anything like that. It's a hands-on parenting situation, yeah. But we talk and we trade.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth. I go, hey, you're being a little bit too hard right now. And he takes a step back and he goes, okay, you know what? I might be. But he does the same thing to me. He's like, hey, you're being too easy on him. Let's, you know, let's be a little more assertive at this point in time. Like, and we work with each other.
I think about, like, when we go bowling, right? It's just, typically when we go bowling, it's you and I and the kids. And inevitably, every fucking time,
they get an argument.
And it doesn't really matter whose week it is with Michael, whatever the case is. If you're yelling at them or you're disciplining them, I have your back 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same way backwards. Like, if I, with me and Bryce, like, if I'm disciplining him, I have you have my back. Like, it's so having that mutual
respect
that mutual drive just to make the kids be better, be the best that they can be, behave, fix behaviors that we don't agree with.
Yeah. There's nothing ever, like, petty, like, you shouldn't talk to my son like that, or you shouldn't talk to my son like that. Like, we're like, hey, I got your back, man. Like, we work together.
You can't have that. Like, and again, I know I said it before, but again, it goes back to ego. Like, 100% goes back to ego. Like, get out of your own way and be open. Like, the only way that this works is if, like, you know, you and I are on the same page. I think that we can easily get in each other's way. Right. Like you said, oh, it's my kid. Fuck you. Don't talk to my kid that way. No, man, because, like, things do not work well that way. And in fact, that's a bigger contention, I think, than the girls, right? Like, it's my wife, your wife, whatever the case is. Sure. Yeah, there's that. There's a whole, you know, jealousy thing that can be there. There's all these things that can sit and prevent you from growing. But the kids is really where it's at. And I had this idea from a kid growing up, maybe as a product of divorce. I was like, oh, well, if I ever get divorced, it's going to be my kid no matter what. And I had to change that rapidly in order to have a positive relationship with my son and with my son's other family, which is really what he has. But now we're kind of like one cohesive family, I think. That's the way I see it. So anyway, there's a...
Yeah, it's funny. Anything that goes on, like, it's not just with Michael. Like, we have a group chat. And it's like, anything that goes on with us, like, it's not just Michael. Like, Megan will text, like, the group, like, hey, this is going on with Michael. She does the same thing with Bryce too. Like, yeah. So he knows, and Tiffany knows, and everybody
knows.
We're
all aware of what's going on.
And we're like, all, yeah.
Yeah. We go to everybody goes to the kids' accomplishments.
Yeah. He goes to, you know, Bryce's graduation. He was there.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
All right. So, speaking of family, next one is, how often do the wives yell at you? Every single time we make content.
No more than any other.
Well, I do think more. I think we get yelled at probably more than typical husbands, only because they're trying to wrangle us. Every time that we have to do a family content situation, we get yelled at. Because why?
We're big children.
We're fucking with the kids. I mean, if you guys see the Christmas things on the last Christmas, Travis broke the couch, by the way, because he sat on it.
It was already broken. Yeah. Yes.
It was weak, maybe not broken, but when you sat on it.
Should have seen Mike in the ball pit throwing the balls all over the place.
I did do that, but I didn't bring a couch.
Yell at us. No, we absolutely love our wives and love what they're doing, but sometimes we know we can be difficult when it comes to like creating content. And so
they have a vision. They have a job to do. We don't always see it. We're not always on the same page. Again, typically, we are kind of busy fucking around.
Yeah. We're absolutely – we love what they do, and we love being a part of it. Like he said, we don't always see what they see in their vision. So, like, then we're fucking around. So, we get in trouble if we're not doing it right.
And I'm opinionated. Like, I was like, hey, we should do it this way. You're like, I don't want to hear your fucking opinion. Just shut up and get in line.
Yeah.
So, there's that. So, yeah. But when we do things when we're not filming content, it's bliss.
No, we don't get bliss. We don't get yelled at ever. Yeah, no, we all get along very well. We have a blast.
It's our ability to follow instructions, I think, that really gets So the next one, do you get recognized in public? Yeah, we do. And it's really weird. Do we get recognized in public?
Do you think that means like all of us or you and I?
So, well, either way, we definitely all do because they get recognized.
We all do because they do,
And I've gotten twice.
I've gotten once.
Yeah.
And I was with you.
Oh, that's right. I think that was one of the ones that it was just,
Armature Works, yeah.
Yeah.
We were at Armature Works and we went up to the bar. We were sitting there.
Oh, those girls.
And there was these two girls like kept like turning towards us and like looking at us and we're like, hey. And then after like a few seconds of awkwardness, they're like, are you Dads of Tampa? And yeah, so that's the only time for me.
Yeah. I know it was happened twice. I one other time, I think it was just by myself. And oh no, it was right before we went to the Lowry Park Zoo on a Halloween thing. Remember I told you guys that? And I was getting the shirt, and this girl was like kind of really awkward around me. She's like, hi. And I'm always on, I always pay attention, right? I just, some girl says, hi, I'm nice. Hey, how you doing? And I always think in the back of my head, I can't never be rude. Not that I'm rude anyway, but like, we kind of represent our wives now, being that they, are kind of semi-famous and all that stuff, whatever. And she comes up and she's like looking at me and I'm like, hey, how you doing? She goes, hi. And I see she's looking at the guy. I'm like, okay, I don't want to, cross any boundaries, whatever the case is. And he goes, are you with Moms of Tampa? And I go, oh, and every single time I say the same thing. I have no idea. I get mistaken for them all the time. So
actually, I think you did say that.
Think, yeah. Right? It's funny that way. But they know. And I was like, do you want a picture? And just try to be cordial and nice and do the best you can because every fan is appreciated.
If anyone does see us, like if any of you do see us out in public, we are very willing like to,
have especially buy us a beer,
Good conversation, yeah, if we're at a bar, you can buy us a beer.
Uh-huh.
But so when that happened, when we got recognized at Armature Works, they were like, we love your wife so much. And we're like, hey, they're right over here.
Volunteer them up.
They're right over here. We're going to introduce you. So if you see us out in public, you can absolutely come up to us.
Yes.
And maybe the wives will be right around the corner. I don't know.
I mean, if we're out in public, they probably are there. Usually when we're together, we're out in the woods or like I'm on water or something like that.
Yep.
Jesus, this is a heavy question. Last one. You have one more.
Oh,
strengths and weaknesses of all of you. My wife has no weaknesses. She's amazing. And
same.
Yeah, there it is. I think we touched on all of that. Like, I think that, as much as we have in common, we have our differences. And again, sometimes you're too nice. Sometimes I'm too mean,
You know what's funny? Megan actually said, when we were talking about this, we were looking over this, she said the same thing. She's like,
yeah,
you're too nice.
Yeah, yeah. And it happens, everything changes, I think, as you get older. I don't think everybody says like, you never change. I don't believe that. I believe that you mature, you learn lessons, and you choose to be different in certain ways, right? Fundamentally, you are who you are and all that stuff, right? But you grow, you mature, right? Again, I go back to the ego, get that out of your way. Just be better, right? And that's what you should always be striving to do. So, weaknesses and strengths, I would say that's pretty much the biggest one. I don't see any other weaknesses and stuff like that. Sometimes you drive slow as shit. But then again, I drive fast, so there's that.
Strength or weakness? How do you?
So anyway, when you got here today, what?
When I got here today, you said, "Hey Travis, I need some help." You said, "I can't reach."
I didn't say I can reach. No, absolutely not.
Strength, I'm tall. Weakness, he's short.
First of all, strength, I'd put myself against you.
Strength, he can fit in small spaces.
Fuck you. I mean, just strength overall. I'm just saying, I hurt my wrist, and I don't want to hurt it more. I wanted to go ride bikes, and you said I shouldn't ride bikes, and I still did it. So I hurt my wrist. I can't lift things like that because I hurt my wrist.
I said, let's go bowling.
I can't do. Are you kidding me? That's how I fucked my wrist up in the first place. I have to go to the doctor because it's been like...
Weakness, his wrist.
Weakness, my stubbornness of getting checked out in the first goddamn place. Oh, hang on. So I think, yeah. Hang on. If you guys can bear with me, I just need to make a quick phone call. Whose phone is that? Hey, we're in the middle of filming your podcast, but can you bring us two more beers, please?
Wow. Oh my God. Okay.
Thank you. Hey, look at that. Wow, you guys are just amazing. Wow. All right, get out. We're doing a podcast. I need you guys.
It smells like farts in here. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's funny. Enough. It didn't smell like that until Megan walked in. I'm just saying. All right. So we have some more questions here. And you guys, by the way, if you want us to see us or you want to see us on the podcast again, just hound the shit out of the girls and make it happen because I know we're way more entertaining than they are.
Oh, this is more for questions to them about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you want to read? Go ahead. Take these.
So basically what made us start accepting how close Megan and Tiffany got.
Yeah.
I mean,
do we have a choice?
What was there to accept? Like we did, like it just happened and we're like, we're supportive husbands. Yeah. And we're like, okay, it's fine. Like, it's great. And the reason they did it in the first place.
I have an easy answer, by the way.
Okay.
My 100% easy answer is I see my kid more.
Michael. That's what I was going to say. The reason that they did it in the first place is because of Michael.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there was no choice. We wouldn't like be like, no, that's not okay. Like, cause it's for Michael.
Listen, at the beginning, it was absolutely weird. It was weird. Like there's no, my coworkers. In fact, one of my best friends that I had, that worked for me and became good friends used to call them the sister wives. Like it was a joke. Right. And every time I told somebody this, they're like, man, that's fucking weird. Now I go, yeah, you're fucking right. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird. And then it just molded, or not molded, but transformed into this incredibly organic, easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so I either get to see, because Megan and I had, in our divorce, we had 50-50 custody, right? I get him 1 week, she gets him 1 week. And we used to split up weird ways in whatever cases. But nevertheless, I get him half, she gets him half. So now my wife and my ex-wife are best friends. They do a lot of shit over at our house with their content. Megan comes over. She brings Michael with her. So now I get to see my kid more. Mm-hmm. How am I going to complain to that?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, that's – I mean, I appreciate the question. It's not that I think it's ridiculous because from an outside perspective, I would say like, oh, yeah, that'd be – you know,
no,
you
yeah,
accept
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But it's to me, it's such an easy answer. It's like, because I get to see my kid.
Go back
yeah.
real quick. So when we, I don't know what made me think of it is, but when we took the kayaks out, the first time we actually took them out the next morning after you flipped over in the pond.
On the Alifi, right? Or no, was it
No. That was like the third time we went to, yeah, we went to the beach and we were walking down the beach.
Yeah, Alifi, I fucking suck, by the way.
Let's go for a 14-mile paddle. Like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Anyway.
But, no, we went to the beach, and that guy was there, and he was like,
"Oh, my coworker, my the guy used to work for me, right?" Is that
no? It's just some random guy.
Oh, okay,
and you were like, I don't remember how the whole thing went, but you were just like, "Yeah, that's my ex-wife down there, and that's my wife, and this is her husband," and he was like, "What? That's crazy! You should make a TV show about it." Yeah. I don't
blew his mind. I feel like I knew
blew, yeah, absolutely blew his mind. And that might have been the first time that he called us Eskimo Bros. I don't know. But, gosh, I don't know what made me think of that. Something that you said just, like, kind of made me think about that.
No, I think that, you know, it just shows that, like, as soon as we gave it the chance, Jesus Christ, it just moved. It bloomed, right? Blossomed.
Yep.
So if there is anybody listening that is questioning that or you know, thinking about that, like, just give it a chance, you know, mm-hmm. put your ego aside and just try.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Jesus Christ. I mean,
well, I wanted nothing to do with him. Absolutely. I wanted nothing to do with him. I didn't know anything about him, but I still wanted nothing to do with him because I was stuck in that, like, it's stereotypical. Like, you don't hang out with the ex-husband. Like, that's sure. just not something you do, but why not? Like, why not for the kid, to benefit yeah. the kid? Why not? Yeah.
Excuse me. And by the way, I tell people all the time, I'm like, not to qualify our friendship or anything like that, but in all reality, if Megan and I didn't have a kid, we would have never met, right? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have been friends. There would have been no reason for that. It again, all comes down to the kid. The kid is the spark, the catalyst, the you know, the fuel, all of that. But I'm glad it did because it took all that weirdness away, right? And now, like, we have even more of a cohesive unit than we would have had if there wasn't a kid involved, right? So,
how did Mike feel about you two becoming friends? And by you two, it means Megan and Tiffany. So, how did you feel? It's kind of
similar, right? But I same deal. Like, again, in the beginning, it was super awkward. I wasn't a huge fan because you got to think about it this way. I come home from work, a long day of work, right? And I'm not just coming home to my wife and my kid, right? Sometimes I'm coming home to my wife and my ex-wife. And sometimes you're reminded why you guys are exes, right? So there is that. But again, I think over time and just like any relationship, I don't care if it's a friendship, a romantic relationship, whatever the case is, there's work to be done on it, right? You have arguments, you have disagreements. And so by communicating, it just helps fix those things. You know, we've had arguments since then. We've had pretty heavy arguments since then. But again, you just communicate and you work on that positive change. So eventually I feel fine. It's just a regular thing now.
Yeah. It's so normal now. Like, yeah, but it was a few years ago. It wasn't, I remember actually it was like during COVID or something. And we weren't friends yet. Or maybe, no, we weren't really. Couldn't have been. So I think Tiffany came over.
It was during COVID because right before we went home.
It was right before that then because Tiffany came over and they did like Painting with a Twist or something.
Yeah.
And you were like, and she ended up staying and having a little bit too much wine.
Yeah.
And like, Mike was all pissed off. Like, what are you doing over there? Like, why are you spending so much time over there? Like, he wasn't happy about it because it was just weird at first.
Sure.
Which is understandable. Like, it was weird.
Yeah. It takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
But I think it has everything to do with just moving out of your own way and just, you know, trying new things. Same thing as the last one, the initial thoughts when y'all became close. Yeah, same deal.
Exactly the same. Is that the last one?
No.
Okay, so this one is, how have our lives or perspective changed since blending, or our advice to dads? We touched on a lot of this already. Perspective changes daily, basically based on experiences, I think. But our advice to dads,
get out of your own way. Like, seriously, like, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we're depending on your age, but certainly for Travis and I, we grew up with the mentality of manliness, being a man. There are certain things that make you a man. And what you know, people would consider like a manly man, not you know,
we're men.
Manly man.
Tights.
No, it's again, check your ego. Like, it's all about the kids, right? So there's that. So I believe wholeheartedly, once you become a parent, you don't matter, right? That being said, you know, in a marriage, your marriage has to come actually before the kids, I think, a lot of times, because that's what sets a good precedence for your kid to watch of how they should, you know, treat their wives or spouses, whatever the case is. So there's that, but at the same time, your kids are the end all be all for why you do what you do, right? That it's just your whole goal in life is to make them healthy and happy and successful. So that being said, if you're in a situation where you split from your kid's mom or your kid's dad, and you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be with somebody else that's going to make you happy. But at the same time, that kid's still there. No matter what, that kid will be there. You have to set a good example, a good precedence for them. And if you have the opportunity to befriend, like, it's first of all, to stay cordial with your ex.
Obviously, that's the first step.
That is the first step. Like, you have to be respectful, cordial. They moved on. It doesn't matter how you broke up. It doesn't really matter what happened. It just doesn't matter, right? You can be pissed off all day long, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't fucking matter. Because what matters is the health and happiness and mental health of your kid, mm-hmm. right? And setting a good example. So if you can, first of all, definitely work. If you can't even get past the fact that, you know, you can't be decent with your ex, you've got to fix that. And then from there, being able to befriend that person that they're with and create a situation where you can have a cohesive relationship and get along and maybe just maybe have a situation where you can do like some family activities together. Yeah. Doesn't have to be everything. Doesn't have to be what we do.
Just to be friendly. I mean, you think like this person, you know, for him, for like he said earlier, this person is going to be helping raise his child.
Yeah. And so, accepting that, first of all, accepting that from a you know, outside dad's perspective, like knowing that another man is going to be helping raise my kid, that's a big fucking pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to raise him my way, right?
Yeah.
But my way is not necessarily the right way or the best way or the it's certainly not the only way. So having that perspective is and being open to that is fucking huge.
Mm-hmm. And you have to think you're only spending 50% of the time with your child. So this other person is helping raise my child. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to have a friend relationship with that person? So, you know, you guys can talk things out or at least, you know, be on the same page. You don't have to be, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. You don't have to be best friends. It does not have to come to this. Like we have a lot in common. We're big kids. And yeah, we got lucky, but it does not have to come to this. You at least have to be cordial. You should be friendly with your child's step parent.
Yeah.
For the sake of the children. I mean, really, for the sake of the children, like you should be.
And honestly, I mean, if you get to that point, it's just better. Like, you know, it's easier to be happy than it is to be pissed off. It's easier to be friendly than it is to be enemies. Like all that other stuff takes so much time, effort, and mental fucking work to be mad and all this stuff when it's so easy to just be decent and friendly and just cool mm-hmm. with each other, you know, like it's just, and unfortunately I would say if I was doing this, I don't know if we like, again, we did start this almost 10 years ago, Tiffany and I have been together almost 10 years, right? Which is fucking nuts. You guys have been together for 8 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. So it's bonkers. Cause back then, I feel maybe I wasn't in that situation, you know? So it definitely takes maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that my wife is more mature than I am, you know, because that's what it takes. And I just kind of...
Tiffany probably is the most mature out of all of us.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Dude. Yeah, 100%.
Because like,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know Megan, and actually know Megan, and she might cut this out, she's just as immature as us.
Yeah, but she just likes to hide. She likes to pretend like she's not, but yeah. So... I think that's probably what drew us together. It's possible probably why what drove us apart, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that too much familiar and the immature shit. So dads, listen, if you're going through this stuff, like it sucks, it's shitty, but again, just
swallow be decent. That pill.
Do whatever's best for your kid, right?
Yep.
I think most dads feel like they'd walk through hellfire for their kid, and I think that's true. But I think emotional hellfire is a lot worse or a lot harder to deal with than physical. Like it's like easy to walk over broken glass, but it's hard to like put yourself aside, drop your ego, be cool with another dad that's raising your kid. That's fucking hard. I think the physical stuff's easy. So, you know, so we got sent these before and over a group text. And the last question is the most embarrassing thing your crazy wives have ever done together.
So everyone here already knows that they're crazy by that comment right there.
And what was my question? Can we be honest?
Can we be honest?
Because then again, Megan's editing this, so she put it. I don't know. But why don't we let's answer our own lives. So what was the craziest thing you think Megan's ever done while they were together? Okay, so what would you say? I mean, most embarrassing thing. wives have done together and wanted it together. Because all I can think about is all the times we've had to go fucking pick them up from a some kind of seltzer.
A brunch or something.
Brunch or whatever the fuck. And we had to go pick them up. Not planning on it.
That golf event they went to.
Yeah, like, yeah. Where they said, no, we're good. We're okay. And just had to go pick them up. Because literally, last week, same deal.
Yes.
There's a trolley thing. And it's like, no, we'll drive over. We'll be fine. And then sure as shit, we get the call. No, it wasn't just the call to come pick us up. It was, hey, come hang out. Which is fun. You know, it was good. All that.
It was a good time. Until the end of the night. But no, it was still a good time. Like everything was fine. No, I want to go back to channel side, actually.
Channel side. Yeah.
And I don't remember what we did that day. But they both had a bit too much to drink.
Yep.
And when it was time to go, it was like, we're like, all right, we're gonna go back to the car. And it was still like daylight.
Like, it was definitely daylight.
Sun was still out.
It was fucking daylight.
We're like, all right, we're gonna go to the car. And then we turn around, they were both gone. They were like running in separate directions, like just
it was like chasing a fucking like a rabbit. A toddler. Dog.
It was like a toddler or something. Like
really I would say all the dumb shit we do to create content is probably the most embarrassing thing. Like remember the black shirt photo shoot that we did? Like
just, looking like a 90s rock band.
Like for us, like doing that stuff feels so fucking stupid. Like I can't go to a restaurant and take a picture of my food without feeling like an asshole. Right? Like I can't do that. I don't feel comfortable doing that. And to sit there with someone that is holding up a phone, taking pictures, taking video and all that, as important and necessary it is for this job, I just can't get past feeling like, you know, hey, look at me kind of thing. And I've never, as much as I talk and stuff like that, or I guess, I don't know. It just, that just makes me feel stupid.
Yes, I agree. I can't think of anything like crazy embarrassing that they did like in public.
Yeah.
To really embarrass us. Like,
yeah, I just,
we know what we married. Like we're used to it. It's, I guess not that much is embarrassing anymore. Like
it's really,
not. A lot of people might be more embarrassed than we are for a lot of things that they do. So like the bar is set pretty high. So
then again, half the shit we do is probably embarrassing to other people too. Like,
oh, I'm sure they have all kinds of stuff they can talk about.
Yeah. It does help to not have any shame. So there's that. So, yeah. Anyway, so let's see. Last question we have here is: do they ever introduce themselves as Eskimo? Do we ever introduce ourselves as Eskimo brothers? We hit that.
We already touched on that. Yeah. It has happened.
It's happened.
It's not like our go-to. We're like, hey, I'm Mike. I'm Travis. Like,
yeah,
we're Eskimo brothers. No,
it's more of like, you know, we're already hanging around people, kind of joking situation, whatever the case is. Like, you know, man, I can't believe how fast an hour went. That was you feel better now, more comfortable than when we started?
No.
No, really?
Nope.
You still feel a little weird and uncomfortable?
Yep.
Your body language
is not uncomfortable. I'm more uncomfortable?
No, more comfortable.
More comfortable?
Yeah.
So before this podcast, like we talked about like going into this and like what was expected with the, you know, with the wives. And they said, okay, you need to do at least an hour. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to talk for an hour. And Mike said, oh, an hour is easy. I can do an hour plus, like whatever.
I said, we can do an hour plus because we bullshit all the time.
But I was, that just shows our different personalities. You're like, yeah, I love to talk. I can do 3 hours. I'm just like, I would prefer to do a half an hour.
I know us. If we were in the
room. But yeah, once we start talking and bullshitting, like absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, we sit around a campfire and talk for hours. But that was good.
It was good. Yeah. So
I don't know. We'll see what the viewers think, I guess.
Yeah. So. I guess I would say from here, just, you know, we're happy to be here. So we have limited time that we're allowed to be in front of a camera or microphone based on our wives' embarrassment of us. So there's that. So if you guys have any further questions or have any, you want us to do this again, if you want to send more questions, if you want us to do this with kids, with wives, whatever you guys want, let us know. And, we're happy to oblige. We're, mostly just kind of sitting in the background being told what to do. And waiting for the next set of instructions. So, you know, if there's anything else, do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
Don't forget to follow Dads of Tampa.
We're working on our own sign.
Yeah, we'll work on it. And you guys, thanks for listening. And we'll hopefully see you guys again soon.
But that's up to you.
It's up to you.